Bada, also from the University of Missouri, and he's going to talk about 9 points source pollution reductions from row crops and grazed pasture watersheds.
Thanks, Jeremy. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to present our results for our audience at the ASA meeting. I'm going to talk about how to use agroforestry buffers to reduce non-point source pollution from row crop and grazed pasture watersheds. I would like to acknowledge our co-authors, Jean Garrett and Shibu Jose, both are from Center for Agroforestry at the University of Missouri. This rationale for the study, 3 decades after the introduction of implementation of the Clean Water Act in 1970s, agricultural watersheds are still losing non-point source pollutions, and so it's a major challenge. And there have been so much improvement in conservation practices, crop rotation, fertilizer management. Still, runoff carries significant amount of sediment and nutrients. Let me show some data from our replicated watershed study in Northeast Missouri. This shows nitrogen and phosphorus loss from agricultural watersheds. As you see, phosphorus loss ranges from 0.29 to 3.59 kilograms per hectare per year with a mean of 1.36. And nitrogen 13 to 19 with the mean of 16. But 48% of the phosphorus and 57% of the nitrogen is lost when the crop is not in the field. That's where we thought we have to address the issue. So our hypothesis is upland contour perennial vegetative buffers can reduce non-point source pollution loss from agricultural watersheds. With that in mind, we established 2 different studies. This study is on row crop watersheds located in Northeast Missouri, about 40 miles south of Missouri-Iowa border in the clay pan region, as Bob Lurch explained. Basic characteristics of those soils, shallow soils, have a thick clay layer, promotes runoff. So it contains 3 watersheds. The west watershed is contour grass buffers, middle watershed is grass buffers and trees, we call it agroforestry, and the east watershed is the controlled watershed. This shows the picture of a grass buffer and agroforestry buffer. And the other study was established at Hark, about 40 miles west of our campus in New Franklin. It's a replicated mini watershed design. 2 watersheds without buffers, 2 watersheds with grass buffers, and 2 watersheds with agroforestry buffers. As you see on this picture, this is a cottonwood and cattle graze in the northern area, upslope from the buffer. Each watershed is instrumented with flumes, water samplers, and approach sections. Let me explain a little bit more about the paired watershed study. The study was initiated in 1991. From 1991 to 1997 was the calibration period. So water samples were collected after each runoff event and analyzed for sediment nutrients. No treatments have been applied. The idea is to develop relationships between 2 watersheds. Then in 1997, treatments were established. These gray lines represent grass buffers containing only grass on this watershed. That's why we call it contour grass strip watershed. On this watershed, in the grass buffers, we have tree species, pin oak, bur oak, and swamp white alternately planted. So we call it agroforestry watershed. Then the next watershed is called the control. This is the development of trees. Trees were planted in 97. Then now they are about close to 5 meters tall. And the procedures are, we collected water samples after each runoff event and analyzed composite water samples for sediment, total phosphorus, dissolved phosphorus, total nitrogen, nitrate, and ammonia. And also Bob analyzed all the samples for herbicides. I am not presenting herbicide data in this study. During the calibration period, the idea is to get relationships between the watersheds, because watershed studies cannot have too many replications. In order to address all the variability, you have to have a calibration period. That was a 7-year calibration period with about 110 runoff events. So what it shows is, what is the runoff volume in another watershed if we know the runoff volume in one of the watersheds. As you see, we can estimate the contour grass strip watershed runoff volume using the runoff volume of this watershed. If you know the runoff volume of this watershed, we can use this equation and the R squared is 0.97. So the idea is, what is the difference when you apply treatments? This can be done to all the parameters that you are interested. For example, runoff, TP, TN, sediment, nitrate, and ammonia. So if you know the control runoff, we can estimate the grass strip watershed runoff. If you know the control runoff, we can estimate agroforestry watershed runoff using the equation slope times volume. So that gives the runoff volume or any other parameter without the buffers. Then after the buffers are established, either treatment could increase the runoff volume or sediment loss, nutrient loss, or decrease. What this shows is soon after the buffers are established, due to disturbance, runoff volumes were much higher. With time, runoff volumes decreased between 97 to 2000 period. And the next figure shows 2000 to 2010 period. Runoff volume in agroforestry watershed and grass watershed continue to decrease. And the sediment loss decreased on both watersheds and total nitrogen loss after the treatments are established. To summarize this result, there's another, when you look at the concentration, this figure looks a little bit busy, so I would walk you through the figure. These are the runoff events from the beginning of the study. This is the 1997 mark, before the buffers were established. EPA maximum contaminant level of nitrate, 10 milligrams per liter. Before the buffers were established, nitrate concentrations were much higher several times in the watersheds. But after the buffers were established, we found only two or three events with nitrate concentrations higher than the EPA level. So in summary, for these watersheds, due to establishment of agroforestry and grass buffers, on average, runoff volume was reduced by about 27%, sediment about 29%, total phosphorus 24%, total nitrogen 22%, but nitrate concentration was not reduced significantly because nitrate is soluble. It's difficult to control. And all those results show only the surface runoff nutrient reduction potential. We also measured subsurface nutrient concentrations using lysimeters. This figure shows some lysimeters, ceramic cups, and PVC tubes. We collected water samples at 5, 10, 20, 40 centimeter depths for about 20 some events during 2007. The concentrations were very low in the agroforestry and grass buffer watersheds. Concentrations are much higher in the crop areas. So you cannot see concentrations in the grass and agroforestry. You see only the concentrations in the crop areas. If you summarize those results for 2 years, 2007 and 2008, crop areas had much higher concentrations. And grass areas and agroforestry had much lower concentrations of nitrate. And same thing is true for dissolved phosphorus. 2007 and 2008, crop areas had much higher concentrations, grass had lower. So far I presented results from the row crop study. Then now the results from the grazed pasture study. The study was initiated in 2000 and these results are from 2004 to 2008. 2006 and 7 we had very little runoff volume. In general, due to establishment of buffers, runoff volume was reduced by about 50%. Sediment loss was reduced by about 45%. Total nitrogen was about 60% due to the establishment of buffers on the grazed pasture watersheds. Now we looked at the mechanisms of why these things are happening. Remember, I showed that most of the nutrient loss is happening before the crop is established in the field. Then we looked at soil water content using Campbell sensors. These are in the field in crop areas, grass buff areas, and tree areas. These are the results from 2009, from June 14 to November 29 at 5, 10, 20, and 40 centimeter depth. As you see here, from the beginning, grass and trees are using water, that means transpiring and removing water from the soil profile. And at the beginning, their water contents were lower than the crop areas. And it continues to maintain lower soil water contents throughout the growing season compared to the crops at 5 cm depth, 10 cm depth, and 20 cm depth. The peaks indicate rainfall events. Soon after rainfall event, there was a recharge. But the concentration of water content was lower even at 40 cm depth. due to improvement in soil physical properties during rain events, buffer areas stored more water because porosity was increased, bulk density was reduced. So during recharge, buffer areas were able to store more water compared to the crop areas. Then we also looked at some physical properties like X-ray scanning of pore size distribution. Porosity was much lower in the crop area, up to 50 centimeter depth, compared to the grass or agroforestry buffer areas. Then bulk density was much higher in the crop area, up to 50 centimeters, compared to grass or agroforestry. Saturated hydraulic conductivity was much lower in the crop area, but much higher in the grass and agroforestry areas. And we also looked at the root distribution. In the crop area, up to 1 meter depth, root densities were much lower compared to the tree and grass buffers. And carbon nitrogen, carbon concentrations were much significantly lower in the crop area compared to the grass and agroforestry buffers. Same is true for nitrogen. And soil water stable aggregates. Crop areas had significantly lower crop aggregates compared to grass or agroforestry buffers. And finally, some biological properties, different enzyme activities, FDA, glucosaminidase, glucosidase, and dehydrogenase. All activities were significantly lower in the crop areas compared to grass or agroforestry areas. So the differences, that means reductions in nutrient losses, sediment losses, can be attributed to these physical, biological, and chemical changes in the soil profile. So that's why we think agroforestry buffers could be a solution for reduction in nitrogen phosphorus sediment losses from agricultural watersheds. If you have any questions, I could... Yes. Yes. Buffers were established in 1997.
Okay, so that's pretty soon.
The carbon was measured in 2004, after 7 years of grass. As you see, the root density of the grass is much higher compared to the crop. And tree soil samples were taken about 40 centimeters from the tree base. Crop soil samples were taken in the middle of the crop area.